So last week we were looking at pretty much what Jesus can do for you, what his intent was for you. This week we will look at what we can do for Jesus. Now, immediately when you say something like that, some people will jump out and they will say, oh no, there's nothing we can do for Jesus. But Jesus actually has things he wants from us because it's good for us. And we want to talk about that. So, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. And it's interesting because 3:16 is a very special verse, and I've said many times, for some reason, the combination chapter 3, verse 16, all through the Bible has wonderful things in it.
Not in every book, but in some books.
What?
Not in every book, but in some books.
Not in every book, but in many books. And so if you just went through the Bible and said, okay, let's find chapter 3, verse 16 and see what it says, you're going to get an awful lot of good information going through there. There's only 66 books, and it won't take you that long. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Brothers, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, because you were not yet ready for it. In fact, you're still not ready, because you're still fleshly. For since there is envy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and living like unbelievers? For whenever someone says, I'm with Paul, and another, I'm with Apollos, are you not unspiritual people? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? They're servants through whom you believed, and each has a role the Lord has given. We talked about that last week. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now the one planting and the one watering are one in purpose, and each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to God's grace that was given to me, I've laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds on it. But each one must be careful how he builds on it. For no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid down, that is the foundation of Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on that foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, it will be lost, but he'll be saved, yet it will be like an escape through a fire. Don't you yourselves know that you are God's sanctuary, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? If anyone destroys God's sanctuary, God will destroy him. For God's sanctuary is holy, and that is what you are. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help me as I open it up. Go with us as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Paul had led the Corinthians to justification with God. And they often say justify means just if I had not sinned. So they're justified. They're right with God. But they're not productive yet. He had not led them to the full gospel of being spiritual people. Now, there's a difference between spiritual and fleshly. we have seen a couple of times, and people have pointed out, like with Roxana and so on, that sometimes some of us will have more power to help her out than others do. And that's because we've been Christians for longer. I've been at this for nearly 70 years. So I've gotten kind of close to the Lord. There are other people who are just getting started at this, but they're getting better as they go. And little by little, the demons and the devil are starting to get afraid of them, because they're getting close enough to God that they're beginning to have the power to do what God wants. These people were not ready for spiritual things. Paul said, I've given you milk, the basic information of what the gospel is, but I haven't given you solid food that is what you would use to move forward into what God has called you. He was teaching them the basics of everything. Now, once again, I have seen, including my own daughter, that when somebody gets saved, they will run out and start telling people about Jesus. And they're doing the best they can. But they're no good at this yet. Mm-hmm. But they do know how to tell somebody to be saved. And say, just as I love this one lady that we had in a church we'd been in, and she was mentally challenged, I guess they call it. And we had given her a Gideon Bible, and she found out that on the back cover was the plan of salvation. And she would walk up to people and she'd say, I'm not very smart, but I know this. If you read this and do it, you'll be saved. And people were getting saved in the halfway house she was in. People were getting saved all around. Because, as the Gideons always say, God's word does not return void. You look at it and you say, this is how you get saved. Just do it. It'll be fine. Now, you're going to have a lot of growing. But that is the justification. That is what gets you saved. Now, Paul is saying that you may end up getting everything tested and it all goes away. So you get out like you're saved, but the fire burned down everything you had. They needed to grow in Christ. They needed to change their thinking into spiritual thinking. They're choosing up sides. Christians don't do that. At least they're not supposed to. Then again, it's a pattern, and it happens a lot, and we've had a lot of choosing up sides. We had a merge of churches in a church that we were in. We merged with another church. And because they went into it saying, what does Jesus want? What does the Lord want? How do we do this? How does this bring glory to God? And because they were not looking at each other, they were looking at the Lord, it worked really, really well. Then we were in a church that got merged, and they weren't. One side said, we want this church. And the other side said, we want to worship the way we always have. And they banged heads. And now it's still there, but it's much smaller than it was. And most of the one side is gone. Shouldn't be choosing sides. I once was preaching in a church in Williamstown, Vermont. It's what they call a federated church. I think it's a dumb idea. But it's when you have two churches and neither one has enough people to be a church, and so they get together. Now, I have now learned, as you look around and see how few people we have, that not having many people is not really something to worry about. What is to worry about is getting the word of Jesus out there. So, but there was a Methodist church and a Congregational church. Congregational church had these beautiful stained glass windows in their church building. The Methodist church had this super beautiful steam-powered church organ. And because it was steam-powered, they had this big boiler and so on. And in the frozen wasteland of Vermont winter, it was warm in that church. Because if you're going to have that organ working, you're going to be warm. That's just the way it is. And I made a mistake at one point, as they were banging each other's heads between the two sides, of saying, well, if this is what's worrying you guys, what if you just take the stained glass windows and move them over to the Methodist church and put them in? And now you've got everything that you wanted. Just don't run the boiler in the summer and it'd probably still be cooler. Oh, no. Our ancestors would roll over in their grave if our stained glass windows, and the Methodists, our ancestors roll over in their graves if there were congregational things. And I'm just going, well, Pat will tell you, because she was there when InterVarsity Fellowship came to that church. And they always say, if a person is an evangelist, when they preach, somebody will get saved. If somebody is a prophet, when he preaches, somebody's going to get mad. Well, I was in my prophecy phase, and I let them have it with both barrels and had to escape because they were not happy with me at all. Mm-hmm. Well, then they got to thinking, I guess. And after a while, I get a letter from the pastor of the church, Methodist, by the way, and he said, they want you to come back. I said, are you crazy? The last time I had to escape. And he said, no, they said that young kid came in here and made us mad, but as we thought about it, he was probably right, and we think he needs to come back and make us mad again. So I did. But I didn't have to escape that time. They were kind of ready for it. But at any rate, no choosing up sides. You're supposed to be coming God's servants. Now, Paul is comparing experienced servants of God with the people in the church at Corinth. Okay? He says, some people plant, some people water, and some people are the actual crop. God brings the increase. Now, the Lord gave me, in the midst of a bad time at one of the churches we were in, He just gave me the feeling that it was not our duty to try to bring people in. We needed to create a church that God wanted to send people to. And when we did that, people started coming in. And things started working out. Because that's what God had in mind. He wanted Him to be in charge and not people. God brings the increase. The converts are God's harvest. And boy, if you watch this movie, Jesus Revolution, Chuck Smith, the pastor who started Calvary Chapel, he got it. You know, there are some that had just a few, and there are some that had increase of hundreds and 60s and all this stuff. That's the ones I want. Okay, get them in here. What do I have to do? Our deeds will be tested. We will go out, and if we've given our life to Christ, we're getting in to heaven. Okay, thank you very much. That's settled. But what happens when we get there? And let me explain this. This is not that we get a point system and we're trying to get extra points so we get better stuff in heaven. When you get there, you want all of those rewards so you can lay them at Jesus' feet. Because then you will look up and you will say, that's all that matters. Anything I've done was for you. And he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that will be the one thing you wanted to hear more than anything. Our deeds will be tested, not for salvation, but for rewards. And not only that, but for maturity. The more we do what God wants, and the closer we get to Him, the more spiritual we become. So that the closer we get to Him, and the more we begin to do what He wants. And then He says, we're God's sanctuary. Now, this is one of those things that people have taken in various different ways. A lot of people look at it and say, oh, you shouldn't be smoking, drinking, cussing, and doing all this kind of stuff because you're profaning the temple of God and all this stuff, and that's awful. What God says is, you are the temple, and if you're destroying it, you're going to make me mad. And you don't want to make me mad. You want to get closer to me. You want to have things that can be held up to God and say, look, this is for you. I did this for you. There was a song for a while that was called, now I can't remember what it's called, but it was about a guy who was leading people to Jesus all over the place. And when he got to heaven, people would come up to him and say, hi there, you probably don't remember me, but I was in your Sunday school class, and I gave my life to Christ because of you. And all this guy cared about was he gave his life to Christ. Okay? He wasn't looking for glory. This guy, he gave money that he didn't have because a guy came from missions and said, we need to go over and we need to tell these people about Jesus. And he said, yes, you do. Here's money. I don't really have to spend. But I had a sweet old lady when I was in Gideon's, and I went and I made the point. It was my little shtick that I did that we found out that for what it cost to buy Gideon testaments, you give 100 testaments out, 98 people would get saved. So you take 100 times what it costs and you divide it by 98, and that's how much one soul is worth. Mm-hmm. It's about $1.50. Mm-hmm. $1.30, I guess it was actually. And so I said, the question becomes, how many of these souls do you want? And this sweet old lady comes walking up with her cane and so on and tears in her eyes and a check for $260 and said, I want 200 of them. And I said, darling, we'll get them for you. Yes, that's just the statistics say if we go get those and we give them out to people, they're going to get saved. And we'll send them to schools, and hopefully kids will get saved, and that'll just take off all over the place. But now, none of these people were looking for rewards, but they're going to get them. And that's what Paul is saying. We have to take care of our bodies. We have to take care of our minds. God will protect and perfect us, but we have to do our part in this. But we do get to eat pizza at least once a week. But it is. So what does this all mean to us? Well, we are each in a different place in our journey. Some of us may have just come to Christ. Some of us may not have come to Christ yet. Some of us may have been at this for so long that it's just a natural habit that you can't hardly avoid anymore. We need to serve as best we can while we're growing. Do your best. And see, that's why the common people loved Jesus. Instead of giving them 608 commandments that were mostly made up out of thin air, he told them, God loves you and he has a plan for your life. And if you're working as hard as you can to follow that plan, even if you're not doing a very good job of it, if you're trying, that's what God wants. And if you lay it in his hand, he'll help you get on the right track and stay there. And they're going, I can do that. I can't be a Pharisee. I can't play all these silly games. I don't have the money for that. But I can love God and do what he tells me. And that's all he wants. We need to set our minds towards spiritual things. Then, experiencing God, it says, find out what God is doing and go join him. Set your mind on seeing what God has in mind and then go do that. What does God want from you? Go do that. Do the best you can. We're humans. We're not hooked directly into God the way Jesus was. But we have the Spirit that can kind of guide us if we'll let him. We need to set our minds on spiritual things. As we grow, we get given more tasks. Oh boy. And that's what I've always said. It says God will never give you anything that's more than you can handle. And I always say, I wish he did not trust me so much. Because he gives me things, and then it turns out I can handle it. But boy, I didn't like it. But as we grow, we get more tasks. He sends things for us to do. He leads us. He gives us burdens. We need to take care of our bodies and our minds so we'll be ready to do what God wants. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Make us your people. Make us your holy temple. And build us more and more each day so we're better able to do what you want. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being here, guys.
I probably should have found the song, Make Me a Sanctuary.
Do what?
I said I probably should have found